It's bad stuff. It's a shame we have fellowship, but you can't shake hands. Isn't that something? We'll just wave at each other. I call it the Baptist bump. And we wing it, don't we? Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. But anyway, we all breathe the same air, don't we? As long as we do that. I'm a health major, undergrad. And so I understand that to some degree, but you have to be careful. And that's about all you can do. But I'll be praying for you, Pastor. Appreciate him letting me come. I'm convenient because I live in Moyock. I don't know how you pronounce it. Since I moved to Carolina, I've tried to develop the language. You know, I'm from Virginia. I'm a missionary to Moyock, and I started talking a little slower, so everybody understands me, and I wave at everybody, even if I don't like them. Isn't that what you're supposed to do in North Carolina? Throw up your hands. That's why you have so many accidents down here. People take their hands off the wheel and run the ditch. Anyway. I want to give you something practical this morning. Sometimes if you have a judgmental attitude, it'll backfire on you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it seems to be a contradiction because righteous people judge all things. Spiritually. So there's not a contradiction there. We're going to look at it. Do you remember the 2002 Olympics, the skating competition, the couples, the groups that were skating, and the Russian skater combination, they fell during their routine. And the Canadians were perfect. And the French judge scored the Russians high enough that they won the gold medal. And it was a big, big stink. I think that woman's name, and I'm sure I'll butcher it, Marie Renee Lagune. And she has been defrocked because of that. But it's interesting. She judged not according to the reality of the performance, but she, for some reason, whether she got something under the table, I forget the exact details, but she did not judge accurately. And then I got to think about the Russians. They knew they lost. I mean, anybody that does figure skating and has been doing it long enough, they know whether they've blown it or not. And if you fall, you're done. You're done. And they made a bad call too. They missed a great opportunity. They held on to their medal. And by the way, they issued two gold medals, I think. They gave the Canadian. Isn't that something? It's kind of like the little boys playing t-ball and everybody gets a trophy, you know. That's just not the way it works. Life's not like that. We do a disservice to children who think that, you know, you're going to get rewarded. It doesn't matter what you do. Now, you can give a participation certificate, but only by one person gets the trophy. Now, Paul said in 9, he said, run that you may obtain. Why enter a race if you don't enter to win? What thy hand findeth to do, do heartily unto the Lord. You know, whatever you do. Now, you got to be a good sport after you lose. They could have been the best sports people. That rushing a couple could have been renowned if they said, we know we lost, we're going to give our medal to the Canadians. Had they done that, they would have been invited on all kinds of talk shows. They would have been, they'd have made millions just by being, and they'd have been lauded as the greatest sportsman. It really made Russia look good, which that's not the way it turned out. All because of a judgment call. We make judgments all the time. That was a judgment that backfired on that lady. She's done when it comes to being a judge anymore. But before we point our finger at the defrocked French judge who caused that problem, we need to consider how we judge. And I want to give you three, I'm going to give you some verses, and I'm going to give you three reasons not to be judgmental. And I'll explain that in a moment. Go to Romans chapter 14. We'll look at two verses. Romans 14. Now, folks, this pulpit was made for a midget. And my bifocals, I may have to do this a lot. So you may think I'm Asian bowing before you today so much. But anyway, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm just going to have to. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just trying to make a joke, man. I can pick it up. Brother Ron Comfort, look at this. Now it's over my head, man. Brother Ron Comfort at Ambassador Baptist College, he's a short guy, and I was preaching a Bible conference there, they said, they wanted to know if I wanted a pulpit hired. I said, yeah, I need a man's pulpit. And Brother Comfort says, Brother John, I thought you were my friend. I said, I am. That's why I could say that. Anyway. Well, now I had to bend over so much, you know, when you get a little older, you have to get to your notes, you know, you start misreading and people don't know what you're talking about. Romans 14, and I want you to look at verse 10 and verse 13. Verse 10 says, and by the way, they're talking about holy days and whether you observe them or not, and they were judging each other over that. That's the context, okay? Verse 10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's when the true judgment will take place for believers. The bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, you know, Paul talks about eating meat off of the idols. And Paul said, if eating meat, I call it hamburger helper. If eating meat offered to idols, if eating meat would cause my brother to stumble, he said, I'd not eat meat as long as the world. And he went on and talked about, you know, we who know better, that it doesn't matter where the meat came from or whether somebody used it in some kind of a service. If it gets down to the meat market and it's a green light special and we buy it and we thank God for it because we know it came from God, it's no problem. But if my brother who has knowledge of the idol that it was offered to, if it causes him to stumble, then I sin. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. He says, don't let anything that you do. In other words, our liberties as a Christian should not be a license, is what he's saying. Especially if it offends a brother. I'm not talking about the fact that somebody's got thin skin and that they're looking for anything. I'm talking about somebody that spiritually is hurt by your actions, even though your actions may not be sinful. They may not be sinful. Now, that takes it to a level of Christianity that a lot of people never get to because they're not mature enough to realize that they are their brother's keeper. And we're to edify one another. And not everyone is maybe as mature as a Christian as you and understand that all things come from God. And if it's not something that's going to hurt your body, you thank God for it and you eat it. And so that's what he's talking about here, but he's talking about judging. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I love to give the context because I'm going to pull this and use it in a general sense, okay? All right, as far as judging. 1 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 5. Verse 4 says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So God is the ultimate judge, isn't he? He's the ultimate judge. Another verse which we quote all the time, go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, look at verses 1 through 3. This is what we quote most of the time when someone is judgmental. Judge not that ye be not judged. Isn't that what we quote? Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now that's the hypocrite who judges, right? And all he's saying, by the way, that verse is saying you'll reap what you sow. Now I love these politicians. No, I don't love them. But I love what happens to them when they say, my opponent did so and so and so. And you know what they do? They get a bunch of researchers and go back and find out that he was doing the same thing. Isn't that what he did? It's kind of like the kids in the nursery. One kid does something to one kid and he bites him on the ear and he says, he bit me on the ear. And the other one says, well, last week he bit me on the toe. That's our politicians, right? Don't you love it? Aren't you glad you're not that immature? I hope you're not. And so judging, what are three good reasons for not being judgmental? And this is being judgmental when you play the hypocrite. And you try to pick the mote out of somebody else's eye, and you got a beam in your eye, okay? And it may not be the same beam, but the truth of the matter is all of us have issues. You know what I found out? I'm my biggest enemy. Aren't you? The flesh, the world, and the devil. Probably in that order, because we're the Energizer Bunny. We're already wound tight as far as being carnal. Don't you find it natural to be carnal? I do too. Now, you may shake your head, but you're lying to yourself. You don't have to really use discipline to act in a carnal manner, lustful manner. It just comes natural. But you've got to place the Word of God in your heart, and you've got to say, I'm going to do right today. You're going to ask God for strength if you're going to do right, because you're programmed to obey the flesh. What did Paul say when he talked about the dilemma of that in Romans 7? He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, I find there's a law in my members warring against my mind. He said, and that's his flesh. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So he gives us the conflict between the flesh and the spirit, between the old nature, the Adamic nature, and the new nature. So when we judge many times, we're not responding based upon the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We're basing upon the old Adamic nature. And that's why we judge. The number one reason why we should not be judgmental is judging makes you a target. Isn't that what Matthew 7 it says? Makes you a target. You put a target on your back. Just as soon as you start being judgmental of someone, it puts a target on your back. We know that in the political world. We see it all the time. I just explained that. Let me give you a little story about this idea of a target on your back when you become judgmental. This preacher walked out of the church parking lot where he saw a group of boys surrounding a dog. Concerned lest the boys were hurting the dog, he went over and asked, "What are you doing with that dog?" One of the boys replied, "This dog is just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we've decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie will get to keep the dog. Of course, the preacher was taken back. "You boys shouldn't be having a contest telling lies," he exclaimed. He then launched into a 10-minute sermon against lying, beginning, "Don't you boys know it's a sin to lie?" and ending with, "Why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." There was a dead silence for about a minute. Just as the preacher was beginning to think he'd gotten through to them, the smallest boy gave a deep sigh and said, "All right, give him the dog." If you're very judgmental, and I'm going to tell you why some people are very judgmental. And I'm not saying that we're all squeaky clean, but some people are overbearing in that area. All of us make judgments, okay? It's natural. You walk in, you see someone, you see someone had a haircut, some lady, and you automatically say, "Boy, that really looks sharp." You may not tell her, or you may, but you make judgments all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about a judgmental spirit. I mean, there's some people that do that, and I don't want to give away why they do that. I'm going to tell you in just a moment. So the number one reason, the first reason why people should not be judgmental is that it puts a target on your back. You may get to the place sometime they say, "Well, give her the dog," or "Give me the dog." Number two, judging according to appearance will make you look foolish many times. Go to John chapter 7, verse 24. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. Notice what it says. It just says very clearly, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Now, there's a comparison there. There is just the immediate appearance of something, or there is a righteous judgment. So what do you think a righteous judgment is? It's to look beyond just appearance and find out what's going on, right? Get all the facts. Get all the facts. Get the facts and then filter it through Scripture. What appears to be something. By the way, years ago, I was a youth pastor at Great Hope after I got out of college and was teaching in the Christian school. And I had Kenny Hines with me. Any of y'all remember Kenny Hines? Okay. Kenny Hines, he was the best teenager we had. Kenny had all kinds of ideas, and I would take him with me, and I'd say, "What are we going to do this Saturday? You know, to some kind of activity." And we were going down to Great Bridge to pick up something. And we had to have some kind of sometimes he needed rubber bands or some string or whatever. Just gimmicks work with the teenagers, do some kind of activity. And we forgot something back at the church. And real quick, without thinking, I turned right around in the Twin Theater parking lot. It's not a theater anymore, but right there in Great Bridge, there was a Twin Theater. And I turned around, and as I'm coming out, I noticed Kenny. I didn't even think about where I was at. I just said, "The whole parking lot," turned around. Kenny stiffened up. I said, "What?" He said, "Look at that sign. It had R-rated on it." You know, he said, "I sure hope nobody sees us." And I was thinking the same thing about that time. Now, if you'd have seen me coming out of there, you'd have said, the youth pastor, Great Hope, and the best teenager in the group, in the youth group, just came out of a movie that's X-rated. Right? And there's a principle. 1 Thessalonians 5, abstain from all appearance of evil. I mean, there's a principle there that I kind of punted on because I didn't realize where I was turning around. But if you judge that on appearance, you'd be wrong, wouldn't you? You'd be wrong. Now, most people, the carnal nature is, "I got that youth pastor. I am like what he's been saying to my teenagers," and they would go and tell somebody before they ever talked to me. Right? That's a problem too. Now, I can understand why somebody would have a problem me turning around there and looking like, I can understand that. The appearance of it is not good. But, they have a responsibility, if they saw it, to come to me first, Matthew chapter 18, and clear it up before they ever go to tell everybody in the church or run down and say, Pastor, I saw your youth pastor. Now, some people love that. Now, that person has a problem. I'm not saying they were wrong to think that. That's what it looked like. But they're wrong the way to handle it. Because they wanted. It was an item they wanted. They didn't want to help me if I was having a problem with movies. They wanted to tell it. That is carnal. And so judge according to appearance. Let me tell you a story about judging according to appearance. These are good. And it says, be careful when you judge. A woman had some time to kill at an airport. Buying a cup of coffee and a small package of cookies, she staggered to an unoccupied table. She was reading the morning paper when she became aware of a rustling at the table. From behind her paper, she was flabbergasted to see a neatly dressed young man helping himself to her cookies. She did not want to make a scene, so she leaned across and took a cookie for herself. A minute or two passed, more rustling. He was helping himself to another cookie. By the time they were down to the last cookie, she was very angry, but could not bring herself to say anything. Then the young man broke the remaining cookie in two, pushed half across to her, and ate the other half and left. Good guy, isn't he? Sometime later, when the public address system called for her to present her ticket, she was still fumbling, fuming. Imagine her embarrassment when she opened her handbag and was confronted by her package of cookies. She had been eating his. Be careful when you judge by appearance. I would have loved to have been a gnat on the wall to see that. I love that. So number one, judging makes you a target. Number two, judging according to appearance will make you look foolish. Don't you know she felt foolish? You know, we do waste a whole lot of anger and worry, don't we? What about worry? You know? Worry is the price you pay for trouble before it ever exists. It's the interest you pay on troubles before it ever happens. It's amazing. Can somebody tell us the antidote to worry? Why worry? Yeah. That's right. You're right. When you can pray. Be anxious for what? Nothing. But everything by prayer, with supplication, let your requests be made unto the God. And the God of peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We lose our peace when we worry, folks. We lose our peace when we worry. That's another message for another day. Number three. Number one, judging makes you a target. Number two, judging according to appearance will make you look foolish if you don't get all the facts. And many times, like I said, we judge according to appearance because we want to indict someone. We think we got the goods on them. And we want to go tell somebody else rather than tell them. Number three, what you judge as weakness may be a strength. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Now, I don't usually jump around like this, folks, but this is just one of those things that I wanted to deal with in a practical way this morning. I usually just teach expositorily, but this is interesting because it's something we do every day, isn't it? It's where we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 23. Paul says this, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Wow. In this world, folks, upside down is right side up. That's why these liberal people that are going in different directions and don't know a girl from a boy, and you know what I mean, and say that men can have babies, therefore they can have an abortion. They said that in a committee in Congress. A person with a college education. Duh. Do you know why you can't argue with people like that? You can't argue with irrational, unreasonable people. You know? We're gonna take away guns because kids are killed in school, and we're gonna abort babies by the thousands? Really? I mean, it doesn't make sense. If you did understand that, you'd be just like them. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men according after the flesh, there's the key. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Praise God. Now, what you judge as weakness may be strength. By the way, don't you know that most of those Romans on the day that Christ was crucified thought, your king is not very strong. The malefactor beside him, if you be the Son of God, prove it. Come down, save us. What did his followers, the disciples, think? They wanted him to take over Rome. You know why Judas Iscariot stayed with it as long as he did? He wanted to get something out of it. He figured he'd rule and reign with Christ because he had this unusual power, and he thought he was going to take over Rome. He was going to set up his kingdom right then. They didn't know he was building a spiritual kingdom. But one day he will come back on a white horse, and he'll rule with a rod of anger. Rod of iron from the throne of David. He will fulfill his promise, and he'll fulfill his promise to the Jewish nation and to you and I. And so they didn't understand that. They saw it as weakness. The cross was weakness. But it was the most powerful event that ever occurred. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's amazing. Let me give you another story. I'm full of stories this morning. And when you get older, you tell stories, you know what I mean? Because you've been around long enough, you hear a lot of them. Let's see if I got the right one here. Here it is. A young man saw an elderly couple sitting down to lunch at a fast food restaurant. He noticed that they had ordered one meal and an extra drink cup. As he watched, the gentleman carefully divided the hamburger in half, then counted out the fries, one for him, one for her, until each had half of them. Then he poured half of the soft drink into the extra cup and set that in front of his wife. The old man then began to eat, and his wife sat watching with her hands folded in her lap. The young man decided to ask if they would allow him to purchase another meal for them so that they didn't have to split theirs. The old gentleman said, "Oh no, we've been married 50 years and everything has always been and will always be shared 50-50. The young man then asked the wife if she was going to eat, and she replied, "It's his turn with the teeth." Now, what appeared to be weakness to him was really a strength. They shared teeth, but they chewed their own food. Not rules, they live by, but a relationship that is their life. There you go, folks. It was based on relationship. They were happy as a lark. I never understood why. I've never seen a lark that was happy, have you? Where do we get these sayings from, you know? It's kind of like the girl. You know, sometimes we just do things. That's another message for another time. This is Sunday school, so I can have fun, right? What time am I supposed to be done? 10:45? So I've got a few minutes on it. Well, I can tell you this story. Kind of reminds me of the girl that watched her mother and she cut the end off the ham. You shaking your head. The girls know this one. Just act like you didn't hear it. You know, just entertain me, all right? And she said, "Mama, how come you cut the end off the ham?" She said, "Well, my mama cut the end off the ham." Well, the woman got to think about it. She said, "Well, why did my mama cut the end off the ham?" And she called her mother, the grandmother, and she said, "Mom, why'd you cut the end off the ham?" She said, "So it fit in the pot." We have bigger pots today. They were throwing away good ham. That's the happy as a lark. Have you ever heard a lark laugh? I haven't either. It's crazy. I don't know where to get this thing. Now, there's got to be a reason for it. Huh?
It seems pretty.
Okay. I've never heard one sing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I could define which one's singing, but, you know, maybe you know. But anyway, that's another story. Now, with that all said, there's three reasons why we shouldn't be judgmental. Number one, it puts a target on your back, right? Number two, judging according to appearance will make you look foolish. And number three, what you judge as weakness may be strength. That was a strong relationship they had to do what they were doing. I'm not sure I agree with it. Now, here's the problem. There seems to be a contradiction. Isn't it natural to judge? You've already judged me this morning. You say he must have had his coffees and got a good sense of humor this morning. That's true. That's my attitude. What would you call it? Additive, whatever. I need it. But anyway, I probably will need a fresher cup before today's over just to advance my attitude being positive. But it's natural. Somebody's going to ask, well, isn't it natural to judge? Yeah, it is. It's natural. There seems to be a contradiction about judging. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for just a moment. Look at verse 15. You got to read verse 14 also, okay? Let's read verse 13 also because I like to get you get the context here. He says, actually, I'm going to back up to verse 12. Now, we that have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now there's the key. We've been given the Spirit of God so we might know the things that are given to us by God. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the lost man. You were born natural. You were born lost. I was born lost. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They cannot discern the Spirit, because they do not possess the Spirit. Now look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things from a spiritual perspective. You understand me? Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, here's the thing. There seems to be a contradiction about judging here. Here he's referring back to verse 14. The natural man or the lost man is spiritually discerned. What does it mean? He does not understand spiritual things. He cannot connect the dots. He's carnally minded. And Paul said to be carnally minded is what? Death. Leads to death. And so the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. He doesn't connect the dots spiritually. But we do. We judge with a spiritual judgment because we possess the Spirit of God. Now, the saved man makes spiritual judgments. Go to Hebrews 5. Now, in this context, just so you'll know, I'm not just jumping and grabbing a verse. Paul is talking about the high priestly work of Christ. And these scattered Jews, the diaspora, who are backslidden really, are dull of hearing. Now, can you imagine talking about the high priestly work of Christ, the fact that he intercedes for us? By the way, that's why you can never be lost again. Our high priest is always on the job. All right? Thank you, Lord. I mean, he never misses. He doesn't sleep or slumber. All right? He's covered it. And the point is, they're dull of hearing in chapter 5. Verse 11, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. They had lost their appetite for hearing about Christ was a better priest than the priest of Aaron, which were temporary. They died. Christ died and rose again. He ever lives. He's an eternal priest. Now, move on. Notice what it says. And he talks about the fact that they are babes in Christ. They're on milk and not on meat because they haven't grown. He says, when for a time ye ought to be teachers, ye need one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, here it is, belongeth to them that are of full age. That's a mature Christian. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That word is the same word for gymnasium. Where do we go to work out? Exercise them. To discern what? Both good and evil. You see, the spiritual man and the mature Christian can take this event and say, I don't think I can go there because it violates a principle of Scripture. Have they made a judgment call? Yes. Have you put down all those lost people that are doing that? No. You said, I cannot do that. It's wrong. Now, in a sense, if they talk, it's, why aren't you coming with us? You say, I just don't go there. Somebody the other day, my neighbor, they put a pool in. And she's over there and she says, when are you going to get in? I said, we're not pool people. I am if there's nobody around. But I don't mix bathe. I'm not going to take my clothes off. Not that it wouldn't matter with me, but with women it would matter, okay? And I'm not going to get over there with some woman. Somebody asked me the other day, how come you're not wearing those long shorts that men wear? And I don't have anything against that. But I said, well, for one reason, one guy asked me, how come you ain't got any shorts? I said, well, first of all, I'm afraid of what it would happen to people. My legs haven't seen sun in so long. I said, planes would fall out of the air. There'd be unidentified flying objects reported. People would be blinded. I said, anyway, it is what it is. I'm just saying, the fully mature exercise and the word Christian can discern between good and evil. I expect lost people to talk wrong. I expect lost people to dress wrong. I expect lost people to go to places you shouldn't go. I expect lost people to curse. When I see it, I do make a judgment. Mine is, that's what I used to be. You understand? And as I end, let me say this. Uh, Well, let's use another verse. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, because I received the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you get that? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that saying? I'm making a judgment call, and I'm going to try to do the will of God. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'll never forget, I had family members saying, well, Johnny, you just think you're better than we are. I started trying to live for God after I got saved. I said, you know what I told them? It's a good answer. Remember this. When your relatives think you, because you don't go with those that chew and do and whatever. I tell people when I chew, I swallow what I chew, okay? I mean, I'm a Baptist. I have the gift of cover dish. But I told them, they said, well, you just think you're better than we are, Johnny. I said, I think I'm the only one in this group that is admitting that they're a sinner. Saved by grace. Amen. I think I'm the only one here that's willing to say I'm a sinner, just like God said I was. And so that's a good answer for that. But that's what they're going to do. You're not being judgmental. That's called conviction on their part. That's their problem. Yep. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm sorry, folks. There is no salvation without conflict. There's no conviction. When you were under conviction, you're about as low as a snake in a truck track on a muddy road. That's how you felt. It wasn't a good feeling, was it? But it was God's mercy to you that he put you there so you could see yourself. Peter, the greatest thing that happened to Peter is when he denied the Lord and the cock crowed. And he went out and wept bitterly. Best thing ever happened to him. There's no salvation without conflict. I mean, do you realize the conflict that our Savior had in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that the sin of the world would be placed on him and the Spirit of the living God would depart from him? He sweat drops of blood. Conflict? Your petty sin you play with? Your judgmental attitude when there are other people dying and going to hell? Let me tell you something. Motive is the key here. Most people who are judgmental are attempting to promote themselves at the expense of someone else. That's the problem, motive. The rule is Galatians chapter 6. That's the rule. When you find someone that's in error, it's not rejection or self-promotion. It's restitution of that individual. Yes, we make a judgment call. I see my brother out there drinking, and he's a member of the church. Don't run, tell the preacher. Go to him. Restore him. If you restore him, that's the end of it. You've saved his testimony. You may have saved his life and his family. That's how. Go to him. Alone. Preachers are not the dumping place for all of the gossip that you find out until after it's been dealt with. Look at this. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are carnal, spiritual, restore. See that word? Such an one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control.
That's right.
Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hello. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Now, you see a brother in sin, first thing you want to do is go tell him, you know what so-and-so is doing? You just sinned. You sinned against God. You sinned against the scriptures. You disobeyed it as a believer. And you thought that the preacher was the only one that could take care of that. And you were to dump on him. You are as responsible. You're responsible for what you see in here and how you respond to it. And a judgmental attitude is to go make the preacher think you're a pretty good boy, a pretty good girl, because you found out somebody's living in sin. I'm sorry. That's carnal. That's not spiritual. Spiritual person restores such a one, considering their own self. In the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest you also be tempted. Except for the grace of God, you'd be doing the same thing. In fact, you're capable of it. So the motive is everything. Ladies and gentlemen, our biggest enemy is ourselves. We judge all things righteously. We can't help but do that. When we see something, we make a call. In our minds, you can't help it. But to judge by appearance and be glad that it looks like someone else has an infraction in their life and go tell it is self-promotion. It's called slapping yourself on the back. I had a preacher one time, and he was promoting himself. He promoted himself everywhere he went, man. And I told him, I said, brother, I'd slap you on the back, but I'm afraid I'd break your hand. Some of you didn't get that. Ask your wife or your husband when you get home. You say, you shouldn't have said that. No, I probably shouldn't have. I probably sinned. Sorry, Lord. But I really enjoyed it because he needed it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to realize that our biggest enemies are ourselves. And Lord, if we can just keep ourselves straight and be a light, we can help other people. And then, Lord, if we see a brother or sister that's fallen, Lord, we need to be a restorer, not a rejecter. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.